This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
The global phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is finally here.
If you had a daughter,
what would you say to her?
Starring Blake Lively.
We break the pattern, or the pattern breaks us.
It Ends With Us. Only in cinemas August 9th.
Is that restaurant with that chef? Go on in then. Because we've got a table with your name on it.
Starters, table 4, moving.
And when you tuck into your tuna tostada and salsa verde.
Your starter, sir.
Followed by chicken quesadilla, then mango cheesecake.
Ooh.
Enjoy savings off your bill. With Amex offers, perks are pretty tasty. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
18 plus, subject to status. Enrollment required. T's and C's and eligibility apply.
Hello and welcome to Winter is Crappening. It's a Watcher Crappens recap of House of the Dragon. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today from the tortured lands of Westeros, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi. I'm doing great. What's going on over there with you today?
Not much. Just, you know, enjoying this season of House of the Dragon. It's moving along at a nice clip. We only have two episodes left. We're almost done with the season. It's gone by really quickly. And there's still so much, so many loose ends.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It always seems like nothing's happening and then a lot happens, like a makeout session happens that I didn't expect. I'm like, oh, you just changed everything.
I know. That makeout session, I was like, tell me you have a show written by men without telling me you have a show written by men. It's like women sharing a nice moment. And of course, they're immediately turned on by each other.
But it's also like, you know, written, I would assume, it's written by women too, right? Women, but I mean, I guess it's based on the.
Yeah. We definitely see women whatever. In like the behind the scenes stuff, you know, but it definitely.
I did feel like that too, because I didn't see it coming, but I also never see gay girl stuff coming, because I'm not a gay girl. I'm a gay guy. So I see gay guy stuff everywhere. I want the guys to make out all the time. And it's not that I don't want the girls to make out. I'm just always surprised that they do, you know?
Yeah,
I'm always, and in real life, I'm usually surprised if I don't know that someone's gay, I'm usually very surprised to find out. If they're one of my female friends, I'm like, really? And I don't know why it is. I don't really have much of a gaydar when it comes to guys either. You know, you have to be super obvious. But anyway, the point is, I was the same. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't see that coming at all. I guess is this hot? I don't know.
I was like, it felt strange. But then again, we're also two podcasters who last week were like, oh, that guy's going to go give blowjobs that Bracken family until they join Damon's cause. Clearly there's something gay going on. And I was like, no, just going to steal the babies. So we do find the gay. We find the gay wherever we can. Anyway, today's episode that we're recapping is episode 6. It's called Small Folk, which I enjoy because, you know, I love the small folk on the show, which is it's actually very off-brand for me. Usually on these shows, I really like the rich people and I don't like the poor people. But on this show, I really like the poor people. I'm like, I'm all for the small folk. Except for I'm getting a little over that like little girl who coughs in bed the whole time. But we didn't see her this week. We just saw her parents.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a huge small folk fan. I'm, in real life, I'm a small... Like, I like small folk fine. You know, they're... like we're normal people. But on TV, especially on shows like this, here's why I don't like them, because they do what small folk in real life do, which is they band together over stupid shit. And they get that like crowd mentality where it's like one person's like, we're going to attack them now. And then everybody just starts attacking. You know, I just don't understand that whole crowd. You know, like when you see videos of like soccer, like someone wins soccer and then everybody starts tipping over cars. I don't want to be there for that. You know, I just don't understand that. Or like when you're surrounded by like hundreds of people at a Taylor Swift concert and people are sobbing, even their dads. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, what is this? It's a part of the human experience I've just never really understood. And I think that other people, it's like when you watch starlings fly and they all know to turn in the right direction. It's like that, but with insanity. Like humans like will pick one little turn of insanity and they're like, I'm insane too. And then like completely normal people will just turn crazy all of a sudden. And that's how I look at the small folk on this show. You just can't fucking trust these people. One minute they're acting completely normal and then they're all teaming up to murder you.
Yeah, I mean, the mass hysteria is definitely happening here. And I think the comparison to Swifties is apt for the small folk of, you know, King's Landing. But, you know, I think that, you know what it is? Normally when I watch a TV show, I mean, I generally watch TV shows, the dramas I've enjoyed or the soaps I've enjoyed, you know, in the past have always been about rich and privileged people, but they always throw in some poor person. So like on the OC, there's Ryan, and on Gossip Girl, there's Dan, and on Revenge, there's that guy. And they're always, you know, that guy who's like in love with the daughter, Madeline Stowe's daughter. And they're always so righteous. They always make the poor people on these shows just unfun. Whenever there's a party,
yeah, the poor drinking, people always have the morals.
Yeah, it's always like, yeah, whenever there's like a big party and like someone's getting drunk, it's always like the poor kid who comes in and is like, this isn't good for you. I'm getting you out of this party. And it's like, ugh, why do they always make poor people so lame on these shows? They're always like virtuous, which is like, no, I think like the poor people would want to party just as much as the rich people. And in fact, that would make them more fun on these shows. So normally I'm like, ugh, poor people on TV. I don't like it. Like scripted TV, I should say. But on this show, I'm like really down with the small folk. I love them. They're great.
No, in reality too. I mean, it's like Gina.
But like, I mean,
they did make up for it on OC, because I do like Jen Pedranti and she's like currently poor. I like so I too. Like her. But yeah, anyway, so this is called Small Folk. It's all built around the poors. And so I was like, oh God, here we go, you know. So we start with Lannister's brother,
Jason.
Yeah. In a field, and he's talking to Humphrey. And Humphrey is like, the Golden Tooth is honored to receive you, Lord Lannister. I've got 500 men. We're armed. We're ready. And we will march as soon as there's a dragon to protect us. In the meantime, we are going to eat all of your McDonald's for free and have sex with all of your hookers. Thanks.
Yeah, Humphrey's like, welcome. Yes, the Golden Tooth. We of the Golden Tooth really appreciate you being here. And I don't know if you've considered Invisalign, but it's something that we do offer at a discount and also some whitening. It's only 3 sessions. They don't cost the Golden Tooth for nothing. That's what I'm trying to say.
So he's like, tell your king that we need the dragon here immediately or we're not doing shit. We'll be at the whole house. And he's like, I don't know if you've met Laura Dern, but I wouldn't fuck with her. He crazy. Okay.
Yeah, because basically it's, Jason Lannister is the one who's like, well, we're not going to listen, Golden Tooth, even though like we're cool with you guys, we're not marching until we get Laura Dern and a dinosaur and a dragon here, which is basically a dinosaur. I mean, yes, do I have lions in a cage? Yes, but it's really just for fun. It's really just for the gram. I mean, what is a lion going to do in battle, right? It's probably going to hurt us more than it hurts them. So, like, we really need a dragon.
A lion's nothing compared to a freaking dragon, that's for sure. Exactly. Those dragons are huge. So, Humphrey's like, I don't know that. Because, you know, like, I can't just call him because this is, like, the Middle Ages. So, I've got to send a fucking thing and then we'll wait for the thing to talk to the thing. Then we got to wait for another thing, a bird or whatever.
So Jason's so basically could take a while.
He's Jason, like, well, how many horses do you have? Got a lot of quarters.
Yeah, basically Jason Lannister's like, guess what? I just brought the entire army to your castle and we're not going to go any further because we're waiting for Laura Dern. So until she shows up with a dragon, we're just going to like hang out in your castle and eat all your food and sleep with all your prostitutes. And you just have to deal with it because I'm a Lannister.
Right. So then we go to a council meeting at King's Landing.
Small council, and Aemon is pissed.
It's a lot of huffiness. Well, did you hear about what happened in the Riverlands? What with the Golden Tooth and the Greyjoys? Have we heard from the Greyjoys? Well, not since they went to the Freeze Cities. Oh, the Triarchy. Has anyone reached out to the Triarchy? Well, Sir Thailand reached out to the Triarchy. What about the blockade? With the small folk? No, with the big city people in the Riverlands and Red Keeps and Aries and such.
Yeah, and it's Aemon's pissed because he's being summoned by a fucking Lannister. He's not liking that. And he's like, well, but there is a dragon that could kill him. He's like, so what? Who cares? I'm Loredan. So then he gets all pissed off about that. And then they're like, dude, but also everybody's kind of starving. They're not really loving that. He's like, yeah, we should end that blockade. So just end it. Like, well, you can't just... this is not really how it works. You can't just end it. He's like, fuck it. Kill them all.
Yeah, and then they're like trying to, yeah, basically he's like, why is everyone mad at me when they're the ones who are stopping all the food from coming in? Like, we should go after the blockade. And so at one point, Allison, like, she sort of chimes in, and Loredan is not happy with it at all. So, you know, after the meeting's over, he's like, mother, a word. She goes, well, I caution you, Aemon, boldness is one thing, but overconfidence. Remind me of your place in the small council. Mother.
And she's like, excuse you. My role is your mother, motherfucker. Oh, I shouldn't say that on this show because, like, as we found out last week, that could be literal. Okay. Yeah. But still, I'm your mother, and you know I represented your father, and now I'm a counselor to Aegon. And he's like, yeah, but dad's dead, and Aegon is basically like an egg on the floor. He's like an egg on drugs. Okay. He's been cracked. He is being fried in a pan right now. Okay, so you're fired.
You're fired. So then she touches his face. She's like, let me put my hand on your scar. Have the indignities of your childhood not yet sufficiently been avenged? He's like, of my childhood? This fuckface lying in bed over there made fun of my penis just last week. I'm mad. Get out of here.
That's true. And also she's like, oh, really? You're being mean to me? Haven't you gotten over being bullied yet? Not really. And are you going to bring that up while you're getting fired? It's not the best time to have this conversation. You know what I mean? Allison does not have the best timing here. And one thing I'll say about literally everybody on this show that I think makes it so even is that literally nobody deserves this job.
No.
Nobody. Not a one of them. No one has experience. No one is trained. No one bothers training anybody for work on this show. Like, nobody is trained on either side. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Maybe Daemon, kind of, because he's been in battles a lot, or Sir Criston has been in some battles, but they're not very good people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like basically fantasy version of going to the DMV, right? It's just like a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of, oh no, you're in the wrong line. Like, do you even know what you're doing here, ma'am? So then we go over to Dragonstone. And Corlys is standing around. Corlys is so mopey. Like, yes, the love of his life just died. Yes. But he was mopey before. He's been, like, really mopey for a long time. Like, it feels like everyone else has gotten over it. So I think Corlys has to sort of, you know, get to it.
He's a very poetic feeling person, Ben.
He's been so emo all season. Like, even before Rhaenys died, he was, like, walking around the shipyards being wistful and being like, you saved me. Wow. I love you, person I'm definitely not related to at all, but I love you like a son, not that you are one. Oh, man, I'm just doddering about. Don't mind me.
Yeah. So then Corlys is there, though. It's his first day at work. He's like, well, hello, your highness. Are there Pop-Tarts in this office break room? Because I'm going to need a little bit more than just gratitude for being hired for a job that I really didn't want in the first place. Okay, feed me. And so she's like, welcome, everybody. Okay, here's the problem. We lost Princess Rhaenys and her dragon. Sorry to rub it in, but it's true. Not blaming anybody. Now I have an island seat. I've got no land army, and I am not allowed to go to battle myself. So we're going to have auditions for dragon riders. Anybody?
Hey, here's the thing. Internet's been really slow around here. We lost our IT person. It turns out Rhaenys was also the one handling our transition from PC to Mac. So we're kind of left in the lurch here. So we just really need someone to step up. Sir Stefan Darklyn, we feel like this might be a good moment for you. We know that you know something. You have a Mac, right? You understand this? Can you fill it for us?
She's like, well, by the way, oh, Stefan's like, there's still Damon Caraxes. I mean, he's a man, so surely he can do something. And she's like, yeah, I'm not really sure that he's on my side. I got a raven said he's jerking off to incest porn. So that never leads to a good place. So basically, I need some dragon riders for Vermithor and Silverwing, okay? And for Seasmoke, because Seasmoke misses his bond, okay? And also, alone smoke, not a good place to be. You need to have a partner to smoke with. Get Seasmoke a partner.
So Stefan's like, oh, well, I mean, but there are no more in your family, Your Grace. Your younger sons and babes, you know? And she's like, well, there's no one left. He goes, and what about Princess Reyna? She's like, well, Corlys says, well, she tried, but, you know, she's just not a very good dragon driver, unfortunately. She wasn't able to. She took the test 3 times, and eventually we said, you know what, how about Uber?
She just kept hitting the cones. I mean, literally every time.
She got really far one time, but when it came to parallel parking, it was like, that curb wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. So they're like, well, Stefan's like, well, then who? And she goes, you, Stefan, you're of noble birth. And, you know, I've always heard the Darklands and the Targaryens have some common blood. So let's check it out. I've looked you up. I've Googled you. Let's try it out. And, you know, this guy is just destined to fail.
Yeah.
This poor Bartimos guy
is like, this guy Bartimos is like, I must protest, Your Grace. I mean, the risk involved in such a venture, he hasn't even had a scene all by himself on this show. He's clearly going to die. This is ridiculous.
And he's short. We don't really let that many short people live on this show. You know, I mean, there are notables, exceptions, obviously, but, you know. And they're like, Stefan's like, well, I am but a man, and the dragons are gods. So I was thinking he was going to be like, fuck no.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to ride a dragon? But exactly. He's not. He's like, and I accept your challenge. Yes.
I'm like, sir, you're a day player. What is wrong with you? So she's like, but you know,
sir, have you noticed that you're wearing a red shirt right now? You are so dead. Just fast forward to the part where they kill this poor guy.
Please. It's like, okay, sure, let's do this. So then we go, okay, so now Damon, dream sequence of the week. Here we go. Damon's in the Iron Throne room and he's seeing Viserys sitting on the throne. He's like, brother, Viserys is really angry. He's like, did you say it? The heir for a day, did you say it? You said that. You started that slogan. And he's like, no, well, I did, but you can't be angry about this. You know, you never know what's going to go viral. And I thought it was just going to be like a one-off thing. I didn't know it was going to take Westeros by storm.
Yeah, they're rehashing the fight that they had when Daemon was originally kicked the hell off and forced to go live with his wife that he eventually killed with a rock. Oh, God, this show is just so romantic, isn't it? Also, seeing Viserys looking all cute and blonde and like fresh-faced, he's like a season 3 housewife right now. Like, I also Viserys, like, yes. What I did you get like done, that,
like,
girl?
Fresh face for Viserys means he just has a full face. Like, there's no holes in his cheek. And like, wow, look how fresh-faced he is. He's still like Hagrid on the throne. Like, but like,
right. It's not new. Fresh in this case doesn't mean new. It just means not rotting off yet.
Yeah, exactly. So they're having, like, it's a hallucination fight and everything, and Viserys is just, like, guilting him, saying things like, I only defended you, I only ever defended you, and everything I've given you, you've thrown back in my face, which was really awkward when I had that hole in my cheek, because things would just really get right into my mouth. Just don't throw things in my face, is what I'm trying to say.
So then Damon goes to the door. He's like, fine, I'll leave. And he goes to the door and he tries to open it, but the doors won't open. He's like, I'm locked in. Open the door. Open the door. Oh, door. Viserys is like, and now you're calling me stinky. Is that it? Someone let him out of here. I don't need to be insulted on top of an insult.
And Damon, Damon bursts through this door on just poor Simon, and he's like, what are you playing at, old man? And he's like, I do wonder, Your Grace, if you're not getting enough sleep. This almost, are you mocking me? He's like, no, I'm just kind of wish you'd stop having so many hallucinations during breakfasts. We haven't been able to enjoy a nice French toast in a while.
So Damon at least knows now, like, someone's fucking with him. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious it's that witch lady, but he's like, so are you fucking poisoning me? Who's poisoning me? Someone is poisoning me. Who's fucking with me? Who is it? And Simon's like, why would I do that? Like, you're the best thing that ever happened to that place. You're so cute. You have such nice arms. Like, you're someone to, like, not eat my meat. You know how many people come in here and all they want is my duck? You're the first person who has not been using me for my duck. And it's actually refreshing.
Who could be poisoning me? It could be... Could it be the lady in the courtyard who summons an owl onto her arm for no apparent reason? Or maybe just the old man who's sitting there in the corner. I'm going to go with the old man. Definitely old man.
I wonder if it's the lady whose voice I hear whispering, kill yourself, stupid, kill yourself, stupid. And then whenever I turn around, it's her standing right behind. No, surely she wouldn't do it. She's just a woman. It must be this big guy with breadcrumbs on his beard.
Probably the man singing show tunes there in the corner. I think it's him.
Probably that man playing with a fidget spinner. You know, those are the most evil.
Are we going to find out that Alice and Simon are the same person? Like, what if Alice, as a witch, is taking on Simon's form all this time?
Oh, God. I mean...
That would be such a sad... Like, imagine if you're a witch, you're like, I shall take the form of something. An old theater queen. In a castle. What about a dragon? You want to be a dragon? No, theater queen. I want to live the life of a theater queen. I want to sing... I want to sing Candor and Ebb when no one's looking.
Please say that that doesn't happen. I can't handle it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So now they so Simon's like, what are you talking about? I'm too lazy to even clean the roots out of the hallway that have grown through the floor. You think I'm gonna haunt somebody? And Damon's like, well, you better watch your ass, hottie. So he's like, stop staring at my butt while I walk away. Well, that part I am guilty of. All right, listen. Guilty of one charge does not mean guilty of all charges.
So Damon walks over to, he's walking over to go see his dragon, Caraxes or whatever, Caraxes. And then Alice is in the courtyard with that nice tree, that sort of spiritual tree, you know, the classic fancy tree of Westeros, right? And so she's like, oh, you're going to bid me farewell. And he's like, well, there's something wrong with me. Someone poisoned me, the food, the wine, or else it's a swamp air. It's almost as if there's a witch here, a witch who will grind up blood and guts in front of me and make me drink them. And somehow that's poisonous. I don't know. Just thinking of that. I don't know who it could be.
She's like, well, maybe it's the ghost of Heron the Black moaning his curses from Kingspire Tower. Listen, I'm not only a witch. I'm a sarcastic witch. Okay. And he's like, drivel! This is drivel. Ghosts, curses, blasted weirwood bed. I'm done with it. I'm done with all of it. Who is poisoning me? And she's like, oh, gosh. When someone pleases you, all you do is run. Yeah. sometimes it's okay to run. I hate when people say that, like, oh, look at you. Every time you're not happy, there you go again, just giving up. Yeah.
So
why would I stay here? It's called make an effort if you want me to stay someplace, okay? Don't just assume that I'm going to out of some fucking weird loyalty to you, okay? I may have 5 punches in on my Subway card, but if you put too much fucking mayonnaise on my sandwich, I'm going to start going to Togo's.
Well, you know, I think that, look, if you're having a conversation with someone and they challenge you and you just, like, leave the conversation and run away, stick with it. Stick to the hard times. If you're being poisoned at a castle and having hallucinations every single night, it's like, maybe look into a different hotel.
Yeah, but this is also so narcissistic of somebody, right? Like, oh my God, now you're going to run just because you're being poisoned and or brainwashed and or...
And it rains on your bedroom every single day. God, what a loser. Be
So she's like, go ahead, run, runner. Just like you ran from Dragonstone, the Stepstones, Pentos, Harrenhal, Dillard's that time you couldn't afford that leather jacket you wanted when you were 13.
It's like, well, I just wish I knew who was poisoning me. I wonder if it's clearly it's not this woman who knows every single detail of my personal life. So she's like, there are older things in this world than you or I or living memory. You are not the player, but a piece on the board, as am I, for that matter. It's like, I'm going to run. I'm still going to run. I don't want to stay here.
And it's like, I'm nothing like you. She's like, actually, we're both fairly creepy and hang out at this weird place for no real reason. And you've got an anger that binds you, just like me. And he's like, okay, well, while we're talking about how similar I am, Ray Ray never even wanted the crown. Why does she get the crown? She didn't even want it. No, she hasn't. No, I'm not supposed to be mad about it.
Well, perhaps that's why your brother gave the crown to her. Perhaps those who strive for it are the least suited to wear it. Ha, burn. You just got Alice'd. Ha, ha.
He's like, don't lecture me. She's like, I'm trying to explain to you what a pick me is.
The Viserys never wanted it, if you recall. It came to him, and he did his best, and it's not a prize to be won, but a burden to bear. Sort of like this dress I keep wearing every single day. God, I wish there was another outlet here.
Dress barn would be nice. I'm just saying.
Just a Burlington.
We've got every other kind of barn. Why not one dress barn? Jesus Christ, we've got enough sheep.
Yes, we used to have a Marshall's, but unfortunately your dragon landed on it a few days ago, so thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, well, if you have any counsel about dealing with the Riverlords, that would be nice. She's like, oh, Jesus, you're asking for help? I said not to run, not to turn into a sniffling, crying little baby.
He's like, counsel, I didn't ask for help. I asked for counsel. She's like, oh, okay, little man. So House Tully is not the largest house in the Riverlands, nor is it the richest, but it's the most stable. And the Tully's wisdom has kept the river houses in line for centuries. They would kill each other to the last man if it were not for their liege lord. It's like, oh, that dotard is of no use to us. Excuse you, but Grover Tully is the Lord Paramount. Without him, they'll never raise their banners as anyone. So she's basically like, you gotta
don't say dotards anymore. Things have changed. Keep up.
At least mind your tongue while you're here in Harrenhal. And then she's like, he's basically like, she's like, you gotta, the Tullys are the way to bring the Rivermen together, because otherwise they would rather fight amongst themselves than do anything productive. He's like, well, it looks like I can do nothing then, because that old guy doesn't seem like he's gonna die anytime soon. She's like, yeah, that's true. And then she lifts up her arm and an owl lands on it, and she's like, okay, well, in 3 days time the winds will shift. I'm gonna walk inside now with an owl for no good reason.
I know, I like that. And it's so hard to work with birds, because if you can't do like a subtle thing where you're just like, oh, now bird landed on me. She's like, wait for it. And like shoves her arm up and she's like, now bird. And flies out there and grabs her. She's like, I'm wearing a very thick glove. Nobody worry. All right. It's just not very graceful. But I did have to look up who Grover was. I was like, which one's Grover Tully again? I had to look him up. Did you know that Grover's family is named Elmo, Kermit, Grover, and something else? And
Bert and Ernie.
George R.R. wrote that for the Muppets. Isn't that crazy? That's real. That's true.
What?
I thought we froze and you hung up on me. Are you going to walk away just because someone's poisoning your mind with some truth?
Oh, sounds like you've gotten some Alice Tully booze in your brain right now. Poisoned with these ridiculous stories of Grover and Kermit. Wait, what? Wait, what do you say?
And again? Elmo. Elmo as well. Yeah, it's the truth. Do you want me to read you the wiki? Because I'll do
You're saying of the Tully family in this story, the brothers are all named
in
up.
This story. Can you believe it?
It feels like of all the moments to have Muppet Wimsy, like I don't as the Tullys. I guess I just wouldn't expect it because he wrote for the Muppets at one point. Is that what we learned?
He did?
No,
I didn't say that.
I think. Oh, I got Alice Tully in my brain now. She's like Bean Mandelker. You will say these things on the podcast and you'll look like a fool, but it'll all be worth it.
No, Lord Grover is what I said. Why are we talking about Tully? Grover Tully. Yeah, Grover Tully.
Grover Tully.
Okay, Grover Tully. Wiki of Westeros. All right. Grover Tully. Where is it? Grover Tully was among the lords who swore allegiance to Rhaerhai. Small council, blah, blah, blah. Where's the fun facts? Where is the fun facts? Muppets. Okay. Grover's eldest great-grandson is a TV version, is also now named Oscar instead of Kermit. And, yeah, that's the Muppets. I just proved it to myself.
I can't believe that.
It's not funny. Grover's name is a humorous reference to the Sesame Street character Grover, and so are the names of his grandson, Sir Elmo, and his great-grandsons, Lord Kermit and Sir Oscar. The latter is Grover's grandson in the show. By the end of Viserys's one's reign, Kermit was still just a young boy, green as summer grass, and his younger brother, Oscar, was still greener. Guys, because they were both green on Sesame Street. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched Sesame Street yet, they're both green.
And guess what? Sesame Street is now on HBO. So now it all makes sense. HBO is like, listen, George R.R., we're going to need to inject some corporate synergy into your backstory here. So if you could work some like Sesame Street into your lore, that'd be great for us. Thanks.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it the other day. I was like, this is so cool to be able to watch this on HBO. And then Big Bird started making out with Snuffleupagus. And I was like, this is so weird.
The synergy goes both ways. And it's really strange when it happens on Sesame Street. It's really... It was weird when the Count got burned to a crisp by a dragon. So speaking of which, now we're in Dragonstone. And the Dragon Keepers, they're just chanting a hymn. They've got their staffs. And they're like... So they're all waiting.
Love that song.
So good.
It's my next audition song. Yeah. So yeah, they're singing, and then now this is the big audition, right?
Big audition.
Okay, let's talk about this. You're auditioning, so you're fucking with a dragon. Sea Smoke's not in a great mood, lost its rider, not having the best day. If you want something from the dragon, here's what you do. I don't know if any of you know who Caesar Milan is. He trains dogs really well. Yep. Bring a treat. You know what I mean? Have a treat in your pocket. Don't come at it with sticks. Like, who the fuck does that? This big dragon lowers its head to them, and they're all pointing sticks at it. Like, oh, yeah, you want to fuck with us? What if we stick you in your nose? Have you seen what a dragon can do? What the fuck are your sticks supposed to do to the dragon? Yeah. They're not going to do shit. I'll tell you that, stupid.
Yeah, it's a strange choice. It's a strange, like, strange way to do it. Also, like, if you're going to try to, like, win over a dragon, maybe smile. Be like, have you ever dealt with a cat? Like, if you go to a cat and you're like aggressive to a cat, the cat's gonna go like, give you a little boop, 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 you know, it's gonna scratch you, you know. With a cat, you lay your hand, you put your hand down, and you go, you can make those noises, like, you know, or all those noises, which is classic pet noise. You can do that for a dog too. You put the hand down, and then the cat comes over and sniffs, and then like loves on you. But if you come over to the cat looking all scared and crazy, the cat is going to scratch you on the face. And I just don't think that Stefan Darkling ever got this memo about how to deal with
They're not animals. Thinking about, like, these are not pet people, and you don't deserve to ride a dragon. There's this dog in my neighborhood when I go walking in the morning that I go, hi, and it barks at me. So then I was like, you know what? I know how to deal with dogs. So now I just ignore the dog. It looks at me and like it's going to bark, and I just kind of give it a look and like look away. Now guess what the dog did? Ran up to me today wagging his tail. Because really? You got to know how to do this shit. You can't just throw this poor guy in there and expect him to know how to do it. He does not know how to do it. The dragon acts like it's going to, it lowers its head. It acts like it's going to be fine with this guy. And the dragon's just like being a total bitch at this point, because we all know that it's going to kill this guy.
Right.
But the dragon puts its head down. It's like, oh, hello. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's totally working. And even the guys with the sticks are still poking at the dragon. And the dragon's like, come here to me. Come here. Just kidding. And it burns everybody to a fucking crisp.
Yeah. Yeah, they all and like burns not only Stefan, but also like one of the dragon keepers too. So now they're down another staff member at this palace, which is not good.
And the dragon keeper did the thing where he got burned and then he was burning alive and just very calmly took his knife and slit his own throat.
They just must know that's like part of the training. Like, look, this could happen. If it does, you just gotta, it's better to slit your own throat than it is to deal with the flames. The burning is much worse. So yes, especially when Sir Stefan says, I've done it. It's like, oh, you've never watched TV before, have you, sir? Is that the last thing you should say before you step onto a dragon?
Yeah, so Jace, who, by the way, we didn't even mention Jace, but he's been here the whole episode giving squinty eyes, like, I'm hot and squinty. I'm like, you go, Jace. You work that squint. Love his squint. So then next up is Corlys. Dragonstone Shipyard. It's some Corlys and Secret Sun action.
Yeah, so Corlys goes up to Alan and he's like, I'm pleased with our progress. This ship will set sail in a few days' time. Not Secret Son of mine. And he's like, okay, Dad. He's like, well, yeah, they're talking about the blockade. They love talking about this blockade. They've been doing the blockade all season. It's like every last season it was all about, wasn't it a whole other, the Triarchy was doing a blockade. Now this season we're doing a blockade. And by we, I mean them, Dragonstone people, but it's like we. And so they're talking about this, kind of having talk about, like how Corlys is saying that he wants Alan to be his first in command. And Alan's like, Alan does not want anything to do with Corlys. He really does not like him. And Corlys
is like, but this is, I'm trying to do some nepotism. I mean, just give you something for saving my life, person I don't really know at all.
And Adam, who's Alan's brother, Adam's watching like, why don't you fucking do this? Like, hello, we need a new TV. Get this, grab that bag.
Yeah. And it seems like it's all going to be Adam being bitter about all of this stuff for this episode. So, which I was totally buying. I didn't see anything coming with this. So it's like, totally buy it. So Corlys is like, you are going to work for me. You are going to get a raise and you're going to like it. Willow Smith. And Alan's like, okay. So then, by the way, Willow Smith is very talented, right?
Yeah, she has a new album out that Dom absolutely loves. Apparently,
it's I think that's why it's in my head, because Dom just told us.
Yeah.
We were talking about nepotism with Dom, and he's like, actually, Willow Smith's album is really good.
Yeah, I was wondering where the Willow
Smith. So I hear nepotism, and I'm like, wow, Willow Smith was really good. So tell Dom his Willow Smith review made it into this recap.
You heard it here first.
It's still everyone. In my mind.
Willow Smith.
Not enough to listen to it, but it is, I will always remember it. It's the first defense I've ever heard of Willow Smith.
So now we go to a tavern in King's Landing, and Diana comes to serve a bowl. Diana's she's the waitress. She also, I think she made an appearance in season one, according to Chelsea, our note taker, who is very, she always peppers our notes with lots of lore, which is really, really helpful. She serves a bowl to Ulf the White, who, when we last saw Ulf, he was bragging that he was, a Targaryen and like a half brother or something like that. So he's like, this soup is a bit thin, isn't it? And she's like, yeah, well, it's either that or fish. What do you want? He's like, no, but there's nothing but fish in this damn city. Where am I? Stockholm. Just kidding. Is Stockholm reference anyone? Lots of fish there.
So, yeah, they're complaining about there being no food. And then we see a very theatrical Sylvie who's like, I can't stomach this. Can you believe it? Knowing all of these rich people eating lamb, eating bagels, eating tostoni pizza rolls. Well, what do we have? Fish water. Fish water. While rich people are living like kings. And really raising a ruckus in there. And everyone's like, hey, wait a minute. She's right. They have tostoni pizza rolls? That shit's not going to land well with my family. And she's like, my work here is done. I've caused some discord with these two people sitting in this diner, and I shall now leave in my very subtle feathered hat and high heels and bordello dress. Goodbye. Goodbye, one.
Now
Goodbye.
That I've had my lunch of fish with a side of fish and I've caused some agitation, back to running the brothel. So,
oh, by the way, Ben and Jerry's, hot dogs, soft pretzels, just saying things on the rich people's menu. Have a good day. Sylvie out. Sylvie out.
So now back at Dragonstone, Ray Ray is walking through the hallway and Bartimos is Lord Bartimos is Celtigar is behind her just bitching. He's like, I mean, I am far from alone among your counselors, and holding this is very truly unfortunate. You know, by the way, Sea Smoke is gone. He left. And by the way, Sir Saffin, he was a belly knight. Now we've lost him. He died. It wasn't my choice. It was your choice. Probably a stupid idea. I mean, we all knew he was going to die. I mean, no one even saw him before except for like one line last episode. We all knew he was going to die. This is your stupid fault. Why would you even do this? Why are you even queen? You're a woman. You shouldn't even be in this position. So finally, she just turns around and just slaps him, which is great.
Slaps the fuck out of him. It was so nice to see that.
Just a good old fashioned.
And she just tells him, it is my fault. I think that you have forgotten to fear me. And he's like, damn. Ow.
She's like, have you forgotten that you're actually watching a soap opera? Congratulations.
So then we go to Ray Ray in her quarters, and she's picking up a sword and playing with it. She's like, what if I had a sword? Me, a woman with a sword. What would that look like? And Miss Arya comes in and she's like, hello, hot woman with sword.
I bet you don't realize this, but we have sexual tension. You won't know until later this episode when suddenly we kiss.
She's like, don't worry. It was the right choice, no matter the outcome.
And Ray Ray's also, you know, she's going through it, you know. She's like, ugh, nothing's working. And Miseria's like, well, there's good news to be had. The small folk of King's Landing are listening. They were ready enough to hear. The usurpers have abandoned them. They're hungry, and they need someone to blame.
And she's like, oh God, so we'll send a couple of pizzas. Will that be enough? And she's like, yes, well, we have laid the kindling only, and tonight we will light it, and then it will begin to flare. I sent my favorite gossip in, and she got two people mad, and before you know it, everyone's going to have tostoni pizza rolls on their mind.
Have you heard anything from, what's her name? Linda. No, not yet, but don't worry. We'll be hearing from her next week.
Here comes one right now.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
So then we go to King's Landing. Oh, yeah. And there's a man handing out a fish because, you know, fish is all the rage in King's Landing these days. It's also the only thing they can be rageful about. And he sells the last fish. And then Hugh Hammer's wife, Kat, comes up. She's like, oh, no. Have you run out? You ran out? Oh, no. Please, God, take anything. Give me scraps. I've got a little girl who's coughing in the corner. Please. And he's like, sorry, don't get it. It's all sold out. You should have been here a little earlier. And then just at that moment, a whole bunch of sheep. They have a bunch of sheep in cages that come through the streets. And everyone's so mad because they're like, fucking dragons eating the sheep. What's for us? Where's our meat?
Yeah. So then we go to Aemon talking to Iron Rod, still the best name on the show.
Yes.
Like the most flattering name. That's the only person I would play on the show. I'd be like, I'm only playing Iron Rod. So.
And Iron Rod doesn't really do anything except sit there. He just sits there and smirks. He also
Who needs to? Because forever on your resume, it says Ronnie Iron Rod. I mean.
And it's good. He never really puts his neck out there too much. So he's never really in trouble. He just sort of sits there. He's like a little bored, but he just is like, look, it's better than being on the streets begging for fish.
So Iron Rod's like, your grace, the small folk have become restless. He's like, so they're wearing maxi pads on their ear. So, sir, it's getting pretty crazy out there.
And Laris is like, well, you know, people are hungry and the anger is rising. The enemy without maybe fought with swords, but the enemy within it's more insidious. It's like, okay.
Well. Oh, God. Fucking poetry chocker. All right. You know what? Why aren't they going for Ray Ray? All right. She's the one that ordered the gullet clothes and left them all to starve. All right. Listen, no one blames the chef. They blame the waiter. Trust me, as someone who's waited tables for a very, very long time. They don't blame the fucking chicken with the disease. They blame me for giving them food poisoning. Okay.
So Laris is like, well, you know, as long as just the two of us, and I guess Iron Rod here, because I don't know where anyone else is. Maybe you might need, I don't know, a hand. Just gonna look at you, and you can look back at me and wink if you want me to be your hand, because I'm kind of feeling it. Are you feeling it?
Yeah, and Eamon's like, do I look fucking stupid to you, stupid? And he's like, no, on the contrary, I don't think you're stupid. I think that you could use applause, otherwise known as a hand. The hand? Do you like that? Do you like the subtlety that I'm giving you? It's like, shut up. Listen, I have little patience for self-important Lord Varys, and even less for flatterers and lickspittles. Got that? Little fucking lickspittle. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Iron Rod's like, are you talking about me? No, just sit there the way you normally do and be quiet. And Laris is like, so Eamon's like, you know, but you are correct. And every king needs a hand. And therefore, I'll make it your responsibility. Oh, you honor me, my prince. You honor me. I can't believe you're asking me to be your hand. You specifically said, Laris, be my hand. Well, I will. I accept.
No, not to serve as hand. You toad. To fetch the hand. When he called him a toad. You toad. Fetch the hand. Send word to... How could I live without you? It's like a Love Island announcement of who's about to win. I want to know. Sir Otto Hightower, you have been brought back to the island. My God, can Otto Hightower just catch a fucking break? You guys have fired this guy and rehired this guy so many times. Let the man go. Just let him go.
A new bombshell enters the villa. So then Orwell comes in.
It's Otto Hightower in a push-up bra. He's like, I'm back, bitches.
My name's Otto. I'm 23. I'm a part-time model, and I'm looking for love. I would call myself funny, quiet, and calculating, and I'm looking for someone who just wants to settle down and just has a good personality.
I've been sent home a few times, but here's what I know about myself. I've got Riz, and I'm ready to close it off with the right king.
Dun, 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 dun. Hello, King's Landing. Who is that? Is that a new bombshell? New bombshell is watching here.
He's sexy, isn't he?
Oh, you're sitting there. So, so Orwell walks in. Speaking of bombshells, here comes Orwell, who, by the way, Orwell... I feel like Orwell is the sort of person that you would go up to at a party and say, I'm so obsessed with Love Island USA. And he goes, is that a TV show? It's like, yeah, it's like the number one show in America right now. No, I'm not. I don't actually have a TV. I just read. It's like, you know, be quiet, Orwell. Like, I'm trapped in a conversation.
I'm a doctor, all right? I'm reading about how to heal people. Now, just the other day, if you ever heard of a Rubik's Cube, you have, all right? So if you've seen someone with a cough ever, open the mouth really wide and shove the Rubik's Cube down, then start trying to solve the puzzle with the Rubik's Cube in their throat. That occasionally works.
We had a real big medical breakthrough, which is that if someone comes in and they've been punctured with a sword, what you do is you take some grass and just sort of pat it on the wound, and it works pretty well. I mean, a lot of times they die, but sometimes they don't die, and that's pretty big for us.
That's medicine, baby. All right, now I'm happy to report that His Grace the King has regained consciousness this morning, if only for a few moments. I know that you're going to be so excited. He's stronger than I thought. This morning his breath comes easier. Not great breath, all right? Not going to say it's great breath, but it was breath. He may yet live. Thank the gods. Am I right, Laura Dern? Laura Dern's like, oh, what happy news. I'm going to go kill that little fucker right now. Where is he? Let me at him.
I'm going to interpret the silence and the scowling and the gnashing of teeth as your expressions of joy. So anyway, you're welcome. Looks like the leaves have actually worked. So, you know, I guess I've really proved my medical prowess here. So if anyone wants to thank me, that'd be great too. No. Okay.
So Eamon goes to Aegon's room, and Aegon, poor guy, is like burnt. You know, he's still there like a piece of bacon, just burnt, splayed out. And he gets his little talking ball and he shoves it in his chest. He's like, listen to me, little motherfucker. What do you remember about there? Do you remember me trying to murder you or not? He's like, oh, I don't remember anything. He's like, oh, really? Well, you challenged Melis. It was very foolish. And then you got burnt. And you got shoved to the ground. It had nothing to do with me. Do you understand, you little fuck? I'll fucking kill you again. I'll kill you with these hands right again. Hold on. Wait for a devastating stare. Dead yet? Damn it, he's still alive. I was like, just get a pillow and suffocate him. What are you doing, dude?
One last thing. Do you remember how big my penis was? It was very large. It was the largest penis I ever saw. Very good. I shall leave you to rest.
Who's got three octaves? Who's got three octaves? Do you sing now? I've got three octaves. I do. You do? Thank you. Big cocked Pavarotti. Big cocked Pavarotti. Pavarotti? What's the opera singer? The traitors has ruined my life.
It's Pavarotti. It's Pavarotti now. Pavarotti. It is Pavarotti. I relent. It's Pavarotti.
So over at the Eerie, Raina's walking through a field talking to...
Oh, but Orwell comes in and almost catches him. And he's like, oh, whoops, you're in very capable hands. I just heard that Orville actually solved a horse's pneumonia by hitting it on the face with a chicken and then turning it around in a circle and pushing it into a swimming pool. So you're in great hands. All right. All right. Orwell, go ahead.
Hashtag modern medicine, am I right? So...
BCBS, am I right? All right. Now, good luck, you two.
Orville's like, oh, by the way, Eamon, I'm glad I caught you. It's time for your smallpox vaccine. Excuse me. Oh, wherein I take a piece of bark and put it on your forehead. Oh, okay. I'll take that. You have to do this once a year, I'm afraid.
Okay, so now Raina is walking through a field with Joffrey, little baby Joffrey, not evil Joffrey from modern times. And she's like, oh gosh, look at us just having a walk. Isn't this so fun? He's like, do you want to play? She's like, no, you stupid little fuck. I don't want to play. This is horrible. I'm not a goddamn babysitter. I have bigger things to do. I have bigger dragons to fly. Nobody trusts me with anything. And then they stop and they're in a burnt field. There's crisp sheep everywhere. And she's like, uh-oh, there's a dragon here. Dun, dun, dun.
Joffrey's like, I want mother,
which is the second time we hear mother said in super British accent, because earlier we heard Eamon go mother and now we hear I want mother. And you, as we all know, mother is one of the best words to hear in an English accent coming from children or petulant young adults. So then we go to, now we go to Raina's quarters at the Eyrie, and Jane comes in. She's like, I bring good news, Raina. You're going to leave me and I'll never have to see your fucking face ever again. Prince Reggio has answered your letter and he'll be most happy to bring you to Pentos. So don't let the door hit you in the ass.
And she's like, you lied to me. You said that there weren't dragons here. Well, obviously there's a big dragon here. So not only am I bored, now I'm terrified for my life. I'm terrified of dying of boredom. She's like, oh, well, there is a dragon. By the way, has anybody noticed that my name is Jane Aaron? Jane Eyre? It's like Jane Eyre. How did the other people get the Muppets? And I got fucking Jane Eyre.
Anyway, we're going to send you off on a ship called the Gay Abandon, which I think was named after my uncle, or your uncle, I should say. So the streets say. Anyway, it's going to take you to Pentos, and I'll send 6 good men to protect you on the crossing. Hopefully your uncle will not be there to see that, because then you never know what will happen. Shouldn't be happy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that they're in the magazine filled with coos shots? No, that's Penthouse. Well, I just don't know to trust a name anymore on this show, all right? Literally can't trust anything. It's like George R.R. just named things off of random things. I mean, look at that So Water bottle over there. You know, am I even supposed to trust that that's a real name?
Anyhow, I must go back to my dear friend Norm and Cliff and Woody. I'll talk to you all later.
Fred, Barney, we're leaving.
So now we go back to now we're with Adam and Alan, and they're at home, and Adam is really mad. He's like, by the way, why are you trying to shave off your blonde hair? Everyone knows that you're Lord Corlys's son. You can stop with this ridiculousness.
Yeah, so does everybody know this? Do they know this? Does he know this? Does he know, and that's why he's shaving his head so close to the scalp every single time? Does he know and he's just ignoring it? That's what they're telling us in this scene, right?
Yeah, at least, like,
It's like,
I mean, I'm dumb.
I don't know how much, I don't know how widely known this is, but like people seem to know things on this show. So I think everyone probably knows.
Oh, well, because I thought nobody knew, but now it looks like, oh, so he knows and he's just keeping it to himself. That's why he's resentful. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I didn't pick up on any of that.
I don't know. I don't know who knows what, but it's clear that, Alan knows that he's Corliss' son and he's trying to deny this. He's like, no, I don't want any acknowledgement of this. He's like, he doesn't want people to know because he's afraid that he'll lose authority with his men.
And Adam's like, but we could be rich, rich as hell. And he's like, well, we spent the whole of our lives in the shadow of the sea snake's great castle. I do not wish to dwell in it any longer. And he's like, oh, really? Well, great. You know, your opportunity. Now you're just going to ignore it. Fun for us. Thanks a lot, dick. And then Alan's like, well, the sea snake would sooner have high tide claimed by the sea than call us his sons. So stop wasting your life on something that will never come. So yeah, they know, right?
I guess so. Alan's kind of like, listen, I'm the star of this storyline. I'm getting more scenes. I'm the son of Corliss. So stop your complaining because I clearly am about to have something really cool happen to me. So, okay, just like chill out. And it's definitely gonna happen to me, Alan, and not to you, Adam.
Yeah, nothing's gonna happen for Adam. Okay, all cleared that
Adam,
up.
Adam just comes in once in a while, like really, like two episodes. Nothing cool's gonna happen with Adam. So just have faith that I'm taking care of me right now, Alan, because I am the star of the storyline.
All right, I've got to put my own oxygen mask on first. Okay, now get out of here, you crazy kid. So then we go back to Dragonstone, and Rhaenyra is staring at the sea with Jace, who's also staring at the sea, but it's harder for him because he's squinting while he does it. He's like,
they love staring at that sea. It's just their favorite thing. It's like, hold on. It's almost 8 o'clock. My favorite show is coming on. It's called The Sea. Oh, hold on. I just have to finish my 7 o'clock show, which is also called The Sea. And then later tonight, we're going to have dinner before the 9 p.m. showing of The Sea. Just wondering.
So he's like, well, you tried it. You tried it, mother. But you know, that man got burnt to a crisp. It doesn't mean it's your fault. You know what I mean? But everyone did hear that you slapped that old man. They like that. They're telling that around the house. And she's like, oh, well, he's lucky I did not have his tongue. Oh, I'm just so tired of being protected. It sucks. I can't even go murder anybody. What's the point of having a giant murdering machine if I can't murder anybody, you know?
No one trusts me as a ruler. It's like I have to, you know, authority is not jewels and gowns, but shields and sword. He's like, well, you're a ruler to me, Mum. You know, I don't wish it otherwise. Will you lead us to war yourself? She's like, well, I can't stay here. Okay. I can't stay here waiting around, and yet that's all I have to do. She's like, I'm just doing everything I can, and I don't know. And she says that she sent someone to Rook's Rest and everything, but just sort of just
she's like, restless. We've done this, we've done that, we're still gonna lose. And he's like, well, maybe Damon will come back. She's like, oh, Damon. I love that they actually gave her a Brady Bunch moment in this.
Lots of pop culture woven into this. So then the guard shows up and is like, Your Grace, the Lady Mizaria, who for the first time ever requires to be announced. So Mizaria's like, My queen, our gift is sand. Jace is like, what gift? Oh, we sent an edible arrangements to King's Landing and think it might endear ourselves to them.
She's like, let's hope for clouds over the Blackwater tonight. He's like, what does that mean? She's like, rhymes with flamingos. Dominoes? Are you sending them dominoes to play games? They're starving. The pizza, darling.
We had a gift code. Okay, 2 for 1.
So they get a free lava cake. With all that we've sent
them. The cheese in the crust. You know how they do that? Like you bite the crust and there's cheese in there. It's like almost like a bonus pizza around the edge of the pizza. It's lovely. They're going to love it. They'll love it.
So then we go to King's Landing, and there's a guy fishing. You know, it's like a depressing fishing day. And then he notices a boat, and it's got some apples on it. He's like, fuck yeah. And I guess a bunch of more boats show up later that we don't really see. I think the budget just only allowed for the small boat because it wasn't that much. Did we see a bigger boat?
Well, he looks up into the ocean, and he sees tons of boats in the ocean coming to the city.
I'm so blind. I didn't even see that. I was like, who's that apple supposed to feed? Jesus Christ.
No,
there's Jesus Christ going to come down and make this like 20 apples? Because that's not enough apples.
No, there were like a million of these boats. It was like, that was like the first boat of many. And it was like this deluge of food. So meanwhile, Allison.
It's like my house when they started allowing double dashing.
So Allison's sitting there watching, like just watching Aegon. And she's got nothing to do now. She's like really not allowed anywhere. So she's like, Orwell, I thought you said he was getting better and all he's doing is sleeping. And Orwell's like, yeah, have you ever been burned? That's what you do. You sleep until you're better. So he's going to sleep a lot. It's a long time.
Yeah, dummy. And so she's like, what about the letters to my dad? Have you heard anything? He's like, no. Sorry, he's probably in a strip club somewhere. Sorry. Where do you think Otto is? It doesn't seem like Otto to just not be writing back.
I don't know, but I like the idea of Orwell being like, yeah, sorry, I haven't checked up on those letters. I've been too busy trying to heal your son, also known as our king. But yeah, I'll check on those letters for you.
Yeah. Thanks for sending me to the post office in the middle of surgery. I was in the middle of smacking him on the liver with a broom. But okay, well, guess that's not important.
I know. I guess these maple leaves are just going to apply themselves. So basically, I have no idea what Otto's deal is. It feels strange that he's being quiet. Like, we haven't seen anything. I've been wondering where he has been. Has he defected? Is he a double agent now? Like, what's going on with Otto?
I don't know. So then we go to Alicent walking through her favorite place to have her illicit affair, the public courtyard where everybody hangs out. So she goes there to like have a private talk with what's his buns, Crispy. They call him Crispy on
who now
on
the by internet, the way, his Caesar cut has grown out, so now it's just like a weird kind of lumpy shell on his head.
I'm glad that was a phase.
Well, I don't think he's out of the phase. I think he just hasn't had a haircut, and now it's just he needs a haircut. If you're gonna do the Caesar cut, like do the Caesar cut.
Yeah. So she sees him and she's going to go walk towards him, but her brother is there instead. And he's like, oh, really? You're going to go fuck the fucker? Go on. Go, do it right in the courtyard. She's like, oh, it's you. I totally came out to see you. I just, wow. How you been? How's everything going?
Have you heard from
he's
dad?
Like, we don't talk. She's like, we can talk now. What do you feel about things? What was it like growing up alone and dad choosing me over you and you just like being stuck out there? It's like, wow, you really don't want to talk about fucking that guy, do you? All right, sad. I've got feelings. Very sad feelings. Men feel.
She's like, oh, by the way, how is my son? What's his name? I know I have another son, don't I? Is his name Derek? Is it Aaron? Is it Jaren? Darren, your son Darren. He's fine. He's 10 and 6 now, which is my fancy way of saying 16. You know, I don't think he really likes to write letters these days anymore. He likes to do things like, I don't know, spend time with people who love him, not ignore him, like his mother.
But anyway, he's dating a lovely girl named Samantha. They have a nosy neighbor that's always poking her head over the fence trying to find things out. She's got a little bit of magic in her, the girlfriend does, you know. Bit bewitched over there. She's like, damn it. All right, well, does he ever talk about me? No, he doesn't talk about you. He doesn't know you. All right? He doesn't know you. She's like, dang it.
He's as adept with his lute as he is with his sword. She's like, oh my God, I've always wanted to have a gay son, and I'm so mad I don't get to hang out with him.
So he's like, he's actually a good person. She goes, oh, that's nice. And he goes, probably because she's not raised in a castle. And she's like, do you think it's that? Do you think it's being raised out there with the clean water, or do you think it's the mother that turned all these children bad? And he's like,
you did your best.
You did your best. And by your best, I mean not really a whole lot of anything, but, you know, they're blonde, so you've got that going for you.
I think you did a great job showing why parents should create parameters for their children. Okay, what's the example of what is it? Lead by example, but in reverse. What is it when you are the example that people should not follow? That's what you are, and that's a great service.
All right, let me put this in the terms of the great philosopher Bernie Mac. America, beat your children.
What is America? So Gwen heads off.
Oh, it's a character. It's the person who runs the rook. Also, don't you remember her? She wore the glasses and she was ugly. Then she took them off and was suddenly not ugly anymore.
I loved her monologue in Barbie. We were watching that in the castle, eating lots of decadent foods like sheep and Twizzlers and such, and not fish. So then we go, then she goes inside. She's like, you know, Allison's like feeling like she failed as a mother. So she's like, well, let me check in on my daughter. I think she did pretty well. I mean, she married her brother, but that's fine. So what's Helena up to? Surely something normal and not strange.
So we get our 5 seconds of Helena screen time for the weekend, or for the week. And, well, I guess it was a weekend. Wow. Stumbled onto some truth there, everybody. Watch out. So Helena is looking at crickets or birds.
I think
I thought they were crickets. But she's looking at them and she goes, this one stopped singing. Isn't that strange? Well, so what does that mean? Because everything she says is some psychic shit. So somebody's going to die and stop their singing.
Someone stops
singing. Who is the singer?
Yeah, and I don't think we've... Yeah, the singer. Well, they did just say that Allison's son, Darren, is good with the lute, which indicates that he likes to sing.
Right, that's what I thought. But they're already going to kill Darren? He hasn't even gotten on the show yet. How are they going to kill his ass already?
How are they going to kill Darren if he's all the way in a faraway city?
I know, they've tried building Darren up to bring on a new character. It's like Days of Our Lives, you know? They're like, we've run out of children. Just have one and have him grow up in two weeks, you know?
Is there...
I can't imagine that they're already going to kill him, but I guess maybe they are.
Is the singing less literal than that? Is there someone who... Is that...
I don't know, because they literally just said he's good at the lute 5 seconds ago. And this show is pretty on the nose with stuff. Like, they don't put up a lot of building, like... what do you call it? Foreshadowing. They don't do a lot of foreshadowing. They like foreshadow it in the beginning of the episode and it happens by the end of the episode.
And she's like,
you know what I mean?
And you're right. It's very literal. Like the last prophecy she had was, I'm afraid of the rats. And then a rat catcher, you know, the rat catcher situation. And then there was the other one last season where she's like, I'm worried about something coming up through the floorboards. And then, you know,
literally
came up through the floorboards. So it's probably Darren, the lutist.
Yeah. Okay, so now the second best name, Hugh Hammer. Yeah. All right, if you're not going to let me be Iron Rod, I want to be Hugh Hammer, because that's hot.
Yeah. No relation to AJ Hammer. So he's walking with his big blonde hair, which, by the way, I feel like that's got to be a sign of something. And he pets a street dog, which I believe is the street dog that belonged to the rat catcher, because they keep on showing that dog ever since the rat catcher.
Yeah, that dog is so cute, and it gets so much screen time because it's just so adorable.
It's the only dog in King's Landing, maybe because all the other dogs have been eaten at this point. So then all of a sudden the small folk just start running, because of course small folk, that's what they do, let's be honest. They're running because they found food.
Like, people are running with Pop-Tarts and shit, and he's like, where'd you get that Pop-Tart? Give it to me. And he beats somebody over the head and steals their Pop-Tart from them.
It's pretty rude, by the way. And they're all excited. They all have this food and they're all being wild, and he's got like a cabbage. So, you know, that's, you know, they're all like, oh my God, it came from Rainier.
I like that he's still thinking about health. He's like, listen, this skin does not come just easily, okay? I've got to have a gallon of water and some cabbage.
So the small folk are up in arms, but they are really liking Ray Ray right now. And then meanwhile, over at the Grand Sept, you know, Allison had gone to Helena and was like, I was thinking we could light a candle, which is like, that's like basically like girls' day, you know, like that's the equivalent of like getting your nails done.
I know. Let's light a candle. You're speaking to me, Mother. Yes, we can light a candle. I've lost my job. So, you know, I thought, what better thing to do? Mourn. Let's just mourn people.
We don't really have anything to do. We don't actually have a seaside view, so we can't stand and look at the sea. So it's just either stare at the burns on your brother/husband's body or light a candle. I don't know. Which do you want to do?
Unfortunately, the sea's not playing here, so I suppose we're just going to mourn things. So they go to the church, and they start lighting candles and stuff. And then, dun, 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 someone comes in, Rickard comes in. He's like, we must leave now. And so they start running like hell because the small folk have gone crazy. You give these people one Pop-Tart and now look at them go. They're like ripping each other limb from limb and chasing them down because they found out that they've been starving when Rhaenyra has all this food. So they're going to kill these fuckers now.
Also, whatever happened to shelter in place, you have a mob outside. And you're in a giant, you're in the basement of a giant cathedral that's armed by guards. Why do you say, oh no, there's a mob. Let's go out to the mob so we can go from this safe place to a different safe place.
That is exactly right. The tactical moves here are not very smart.
Yeah, not a lot of, like, you know, this is why they need Otto. You know, they need some brains running the operations here.
Yeah. So someone sees the queen running and they're like, oh, look, it's the queen of fishes. And they throw a fish at her head,
which is
funny. I think it was a fish.
I like a very literal. I love like prop comedy when it comes to insulting your royals, like queen of fish.
Queen, here's of a cabbage. Fish in your face.
Throw a cabbage at her.
So they're running, and then it looks like they get attacked, right?
They get
you, damn you, and they get them cornered and starts attacking them, and then a guard cuts off a man's arm because, you know, they're all going, and she's like, see, there's swords, don't kill the small folk, but the crowd's small folk are like, we're going to kill you, dummy.
There are a lot more fish where this one came from. You better get running or prepare to have a lot of fish guts on your face. So they wind up getting into like a carriage, and then they ride through the streets and back into safety. I mean, Helena's had a real tough go of it when she goes outside. She already hates the small folk. Like, if anyone hates the small folk, it's Helena. The way she looks at them is just like pure disgust and fear.
Well, yeah, because they're always like screaming in her face and shit. It's like, I just lost my kid, you're screaming in my face. Now, you know, I didn't give you a Pop-Tart, you're screaming in my face. Can I do one fucking thing right? Can people just leave me alone?
So then we go back to Aegon's bedside. And then, you know, the lady's about to give Aegon his medicine. But Larys is like, not so much. Wait, give it an hour. So then Larys says, Aegon, of course, is like, I want the medicine. But Larys sits down. He's like, no, you're about to get a Larys monologue. I'm going to cry and then turn into rage.
Yeah, so he withholds the poppy shit. And he's like, take heart, your grace. You've already written yourself into legend by surviving Dragonfire. But you'll never walk again, stupid. And guess what? I know, because I was born with a twisted foot. Well, guess what? Your foot's even twistier and turnier, and you're ugly to boot. At least I'm still kind of hot. So I hope you have fun jerking off to bare feet, because that's what your life is going to be. So if you ever want a circle jerk, well, sorry. There's just two of us in this town, but we can have a rectangle jerk. I'll jerk you, and you jerk me. And good thing to know is there's someone else at the foot table. Me and you, we can now be friends, and I can speak openly with you, as people with fucked up feet can do with each other. So it's me and you together forever, my fucked up foot brother. Now, plan on giving me a job when you get back? I'll bet you do, because your foot's fucked up. I was like, wow, this guy's getting pretty bold just because the other guy got a fucked up foot. I mean, geez, your tongue has gotten pretty loose there, Lair.
I know. Although it's interesting, when he said that when he was born that his foot was messed up, and his dad said it was sorcery, do we think Alice did some sorcery to Larys's foot, like as revenge for something?
I don't know why I didn't think of that, because obviously she's over there
and she's probably like
doing a lot of sorcery.
You know, she's 100 years old. She's a witch. So,
and he's like, yeah, well, he accused a member of our household of casting malign spells. And I was like, whoa. At first, I thought witch hunt. I thought, oh, and they probably killed whatever poor servant, you know, it was. But now that you said that, yeah, I guess it's her.
By the way, they have an ongoing issue with sorcery happening at Harrenhal. Why are they not getting rid of the one person who is so obviously a witch? Like, I mean, she literally had an owl come to her hand for no reason, just to show off. That is the witchiest move you could pull. And they're like, I wonder who could be doing this. Who in this household is giving people hallucinations and causing babies to be born with a twisted foot? I don't know.
I know. Hey, Alice, it's dinner. Will you be having anything to drink? I will have mouse blood mixed with bee pollen mixed with toenails from a baby. Like, sounds delicious. Can I try?
No, it's only for me.
Anyway, back to our figuring out who here is a witch. I have no leads.
Guys, back to the witch discussion. Wait, before we do that, Alice, do you have a toast that you'd like to give? Sure.
Hala frimna frum lala mona.
All right, good one, Al. Good one, Al. All right, so let's just get back. Has anybody seen any broomsticks being ridden in?
Alice, are you sure you don't want a chair? No, this broomstick is fine. I'm happy with the broomstick. All right, well,
Alice, are you bringing friends tonight? Yes, I've brought Kathy Najimy, Bette Midler, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
And will you be serving them that soup you're making in a cauldron?
Boils, boils, bubbles, and troubles. Am I right, guys? You silly girl. Okay, so...
Speaking of which, we go back
Aegon's
to
Aegon's like, oh my God, no, no. So this actually is supposed to be nice, I think, from Laris. Laris is like, all right, listen here. I was going to give you time to heal, but we don't have much time because your brother's taken over. And Laura Dern does not waste 2 fucking seconds of her life, okay? You need to get back out there because we're both fucked. And now that we both have fucked up feet, we're going to fight this bitch together. You got it? Stop your fucking crying, okay? See you out there, buddy.
It's like, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Well, actually,
for real.
You probably should lean a little bit more, and then we'll clean.
You got time to drool. You got time to rule, brother, all right?
So, speaking of witches in Harrenhal, we go back there, and Daemon is having a vision. And he's having another hallucination, but this time it's a nice one as well, because Viserys is mourning, I think, his wife. And Daemon's, like, you know, consoling him, and Viserys is sobbing, and... all the hallucinations so far have been Daemon confronting awful things and being like, boo, and angry at them. But now he's actually being lovely and he's tending. And he's like, I'm sorry, brother. You needed me. I'm here now. I'm here now. So I think this is supposed to suggest that the inner storms that Daemon has been working through while he's been here at Harrenhal trying to confront his past. It's like he's finally gone from... pushing back against the terrible deeds in his life to understanding and now being present for those who need him. I don't know. That's what it seems like they're trying to convey with these ridiculous and super annoying hallucination scenes.
Well, then he snaps out of it and he's at the dinner table again. So that's another reason why, because it's poison, right? Because I feel like he's always at dinner. Or it's like 90% of the time.
He never wakes up in bed. He's always in a very public place, which is mortifying. So Simon's like, right. Sorrowful news from Riverrun, my king. Lord Grover is dead. And we receive the news from his liege, Miss Piggy. And Daemon's like, oh, the old man died. Finally, he's like, yes, indeed. Young Oscar Tully is now Lord Paramount of the Riverlands. And there are more trash cans than ever before, apparently.
Yeah, Riverrun's maesters have been at their wits' end, and your own healer, Alice Rivers, volunteered her renowned skills. She tried a craft, but, you know, there wasn't much to be done for old Grove. You know, Alice, so helpful. She cooked his eyeballs and then let them chill before throwing them into a Slurpee. Wasn't weird at all. Wouldn't let anyone else sip it, though. Then she flew away. So odd, weird, but an odd lady.
She actually turned into an owl and landed on her own self. It was strange. And somehow, this did not help Grover at all. In fact, it seemed like he died faster than before. I don't know. Anyway, we still love her. She's still welcome here anytime.
So now Adam, who is the brother who's never going to get anything. What's the other one? What's the Alan. Other guy's name? Adam and Alan.
Adam and Alan.
Right. Adam and Alan, right. So he's,
Adam's spelled he's like out the there fishing. Family, I'd like to point out. Feels like they're
coming okay.
Pop culture.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
oh, like- and also there's a character on here named The Hand.
And I'm sure there's gonna be a cousin in at some point.
Yeah.
We're keeping an eye on all the Easter eggs.
Sorry, that took me a minute. I was like, who cares how he spells his name? And then I got it later. Okay, he's trying to fish, and then boom, there's a dragon there flying over, torturing everybody, just flying down, doing drive-bys, like kind of nudging him, and he starts running like hell to get away from this thing, but he finally falls, and then the dragon lands right in front of him and then just puts his face in his, and we're like, oh my gosh. So the dragon chose him? What happened? How did this happen? Well, the dragon just was like, you know what? If you guys want me to ride somebody, I'm going to find my own rider. You don't get to just bring rando people to audition. I'm not a fucking piece of meat. I'm going to go find my own. Bye.
My interpretation was the dragon was hungry and like came over to eat someone. And, you know, Adam was separated from the group. He didn't get inside. And so the dragon came in to eat him. But as the dragon approached, Adam had like a look of tranquility on his face. Like he wasn't like afraid. And Adam is also Corliss's son, which I didn't realize. I thought that, like, for some reason, I thought, like, maybe they shared the same mom, but maybe not the same dad. But it seems like Adam is also Corliss's son, even though he doesn't have the blonde hair. So they, like, Adam sort of, like, looks at Sea Smoke with, like, a tranquility and an awe. Like, he sees Sea Smoke.
Oh, I thought he looked scared.
Well, he's scared at first. But if you look at his face sort of changes. And it's almost like he goes from fear to seeing something, like, innate and special about Sea Smoke. And so I think then Sea Smoke senses that, because that's not what What's-His-Face did, who died earlier, and Darklyn. And so I think that my interpretation is that Sea Smoke chooses not to kill this person, but instead say,
okay, so you think that he was just going to eat him, but then he was like, oh, you could be my rider, you seem cool. Instead of him coming into town, like, I'm going to find a rider and this is him. I'm going to corner him and
get him. I sniff a royal person.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. Okay, so then we go to Ray Ray's quarters, and Miss Arya and Ray Ray are having another scene. And basically, Ray Ray is like, oh, God, I can't win this war. Everything's going wrong. Everybody sucks. Everything I have sucks. Everybody's dead. Damon hates me. I'm going to lose. I'm just a big pile of fucking lose, okay?
And so then Miseria then tells her story. She's like, it was my father. I was still a child. And she tells a story about her father sexually abused her. And then eventually
she got the cut on her throat, because Ray Ray had asked her earlier, right, where did you get that cut on your throat? And she wouldn't tell her.
Right. And so that
why are there bubbles popping up on my picture now? Was that something I just did?
I don't see
playing bubbles. Playing with my waddle brought bubbles up on the video screen.
I don't see any.
They were there. No, I'm trying to repeat it, but I was just playing with my waddle, you guys.
You made and then a gesture all these that, bubbles. Like, somehow.
It triggered bubbles. Something on the screen.
That happens to me bubbles. All the time. That's
funny.
I'll be FaceTiming and I do something with my hand and balloons just like flutter up. And I'm like, where did those balloons come from? So
annoying.
Miseria talks about how basically her dad impregnated her. And then, like, I guess to end the pregnancy, there was like, he did something that was like that. Now she cannot bear children. And she was left for dead, but she lived, and now she doesn't trust anyone. And that's how that oath has done well for her. And, you know, there are few who she finds to be steadfast, but she finds Ray Ray to be steadfast. And because of that, she will serve Ray Ray, because she believes that Ray Ray is meant to be queen. And in that moment, Ray Ray, I think, is so touched. She's like, finally, like, I think as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, okay, it's like a moment of like, someone who gets her, someone who understands the difficulty of dealing with all these awful men. And in that moment, she's not, it's not to be queen. She just has like a really good female friend and they hug. And then because, you know, it has to be, they start to make out.
Making out. Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see that coming either, but there they go. And so they're making out and not a ton of chemistry, not going to lie.
It's weird.
And then, and then someone comes in and they break apart, you know, and they learn about Sea Smoke, who has been flying all over Spice Town, which I love. I just love that name.
I know.
Sea Smoke's loose in Spice Town, guys. Spice Town! Sea Smoke, you little devil.
God, you know, I mean, I love the idea that there's a town that's just dedicated to the Spice Girls. You know, it's just like, it's like a walk-in fan experience. It's really just a promotional activation. You go, you take a picture and a cutout, you know.
If you want to be my lover. So then she's like, why? Why is he just flying around alone like that? That's crazy. And he's like, oh, nope, he's got a rider. And they're like, what? And they're like, we can't see who it is, but they're worried it's the Greens. And Ray Ray is like, well, who else could it be? Should I summon a council?
And Ray Ray's like, no. And she goes to the Dragon Cave, walks past the old ashes of Darklyn, gets onto Syrax, and takes off to find out what the hell's going on with Sea Smoke. Who's riding Sea Smoke?
So then basically we find out all the Dragon Riders. I mean, we pretty much know now, right? So it's going to be Rhaena is going to get the wild dragon out in the middle of nowhere.
We hope.
And then this guy, Adam, has Sea Smoke. And then Alan will get one, probably. And then who's left? That leaves one dragon left, right? Or is that all? Are there only three?
Luke.
There's one more.
Jace has a dragon.
Right, but aren't there three unclaimed? Because there's the wild one.
Right.
And then there's, didn't she say there were two more that are unclaimed plus Sea Smoke? So that would be right. Four. Oh, the guy who's like, oh, my parent, I'm really famous.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that guy's name?
Yeah, he's going to clearly be a dragon rider.
So then we have four new dragon riders coming up, everybody. What?
Talk about new bombshells entering the villa. Well,
yes,
it's good. I think this season's so much better than last season. And I'm excited to see where it goes in the final two episodes. Because I'm like, how do all these characters, how did like Alan and Adam, how do they all figure into this mess that's happening? What's going on with Elinda? Like, we see a flash of her in the previews for next week in like a Red Riding Hood. So we shall find out. Only two episodes left. So everyone, thanks so much for being here and listening. And don't forget, if you just only want our Game of Thrones and House of the Dragons content, subscribe to Winter is Crappening on your podcast application, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye, everybody. If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.